This fine full Sunday morning. So, yeah, I think we're ready for slide number one here. We've got a few slides we'll put up here, help you see the references of the scriptures we'll go to. Last week, we looked at the first coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In spite of all the prophecies, some 400 prophecies in the Old Testament, there weren't that many people that were there and recognized his first coming. But I tell you what, the results of his first coming, I think we realize a little bit, don't we? I mean, look what Jesus Christ did. He brought the new birth realities, right? Born again of God's Spirit, have 9 manifestations, Christ in you, the hope of glory, his righteousness, sanctified, redeemed, on and on and on, as a result of his first coming. And we can be very grateful and thankful. We can live that today. We can live the fullness of what it is to have Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we're grateful that he came the first time. But guess what? He's going to come a second time. And if you like the first time, look out for the second time, okay? So we're going to first start in Acts chapter 1. So we're going to be looking at quite a few scriptures, so get your Bible out, be they in the form of a book or electronically, and let's take a look at God's Word. So we're in slide number 2 in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I love this verse. Because he's setting the heart of what he's bringing since he's going to be ascended up into heaven, right? He's paid the price. He died for all mankind. God raised him from the dead. He was 40 days in his resurrected body, and then he's ready to go to ascend up to heaven, to be with the Heavenly Father at his right hand. And this is what he said, his last recorded words. But you shall receive what? Power. Power. You're going to have power in your life. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Do you have Holy Spirit in you? Yes. Do you have power in you? Yes. You got a lot of power. You've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we continue to learn and grow in our understanding of who we are in Christ, how we identify fully and completely with him. So what a great promise here. It goes on, you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem, right? Unto both in Jerusalem and all Judea and into Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And that's it. It's gone. Now he's gone. That's it. Was that it? Did that end the show there? No. Something else happened. Verse 11. And verse 10. And while they behold, looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by him in white apparel. Who are these 2 fellows? Some angels, right? So he's on the way. 2 angels speak up, and what do they say? Which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? And at this time, let me get my glasses on here. I'll read this a little smoother for you. Why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Wow. And now he's gone. So the last great promise of Jesus, he's coming back. He's coming back. As he went up, he's coming back. That's our hope. That's something we look forward to. We know it because it's prophesied, it's said in God's Word that he is coming back. Let's take a look at the fullness of this reality of Jesus coming back. And we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10, slide 3 here. Boy, right off the bat, we have this promise of his second coming. And at any moment, Jesus Christ will return. And here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, let's see what we have here. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Great key there, huh? We know the promises of God. What do we need to have before we see it? A little patience. A little endurance there, yeah. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. In a little while, he's going to be coming back. This is the promise. It's interesting to note this Greek word for a little while is the word micron. And you can see it up on the board here, on the screen. Micron was the measurement of the smallest thing that they would use that word. And we use that word today in science. It's a term for measurement. And it takes 25,400 microns to equal one little inch. So that's just a little bit, isn't it? So what do you think God's communicating here? He's coming back. Jesus is coming back in just a little bit of time. So what do we have until then? Patience. We hang in there. Because man, oh man, what a great hope we have. He's coming back. Oh my goodness. Well, let's go to 1 Peter, okay? This is slide number 4. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a what hope? A live hope, a living hope. This thing's really going to happen. It's a living hope. And he has blessed us. He has begotten us. We're in his family. We're his kids. You've confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're born again. You're in the family of God. You've got the hope of Christ's return. At any moment, a micron of time, he's coming back. Isn't that exciting? Can you get excited about this? I would think so. I would hope so. If you like having Christ in you, wait till he comes back. Because we're going to get... Well, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. We're going to get a new body, right? It's going to be pretty neat, pretty tremendous here. Well, let's finish reading this. Boy, I stopped right in the middle, huh? Has begotten us to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Boy, oh boy. God made sure that this was a sure thing, right? Amen. A sure thing, incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Can't beat the bank of heaven, can you? It's reserved there for you. Who are kept by what? The power of God. Amen. The power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And we're looking forward to it. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory to the appearing of Jesus Christ. We believe the word. We believe he's coming back. And so we can live our life with great excitement, with great joy, with great results in believing the promises of God. Whom, having not seen, verse 8, having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah! We should be jumping up and, oh my goodness, that is exciting. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. See, the greatness of the new birth realities culminate with the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What an exciting event to look forward to. Okay, let's go to Ephesians. And this is slide number 5. We'll take a look at Ephesians. Our Heavenly Father wants us to really know and understand all that he has done for us and what he's making available for us. And this verse here, Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding. Okay, you see the figure of speech here, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, all right? Enlightened to what? That you may know the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. God wants you not to guess, speculate, or be worried about it. He wants you to know. He wants the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Fantastic, isn't it? I love these two verses here. Because God wants us to really, really know. Too many Christians are guessing. They're speculating. What's going to really happen? Is Christ going to come back? We see what the Word says already, right? We saw promise in the day of Pentecost. Or it wasn't the day of Pentecost, but it was a few days, 10 days before Pentecost, that the promise that he would return back. And all these great scriptures, God wants us to know the hope of his calling. Let's look at slide number 6. This is 1 Thessalonians. This is all about us. Because his second coming involves a lot of things. And what really applies to us, to begin with, we see here in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. All right? 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be what? God doesn't want us to be stupid. He doesn't want us not to know. He does not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, what does that mean? I mean, is he talking about people that are, you know, midnight to early morning in bed all day long? No. This is a figure of speech indicating, you know, that you've died. And God, in his beautiful love, softens the blow a little bit with this figure that we're asleep. We're not dead. We may die from a worldly standpoint. God says, you're just asleep. Why? Because Christ is going to come back and we will meet him in the air. Oh my goodness. Well, let's read it. Don't take my word for it. Okay? All right. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep, dead in Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Boy, when you hear that trumpet, get your traveling shoes on, because you're going up. Man, oh man, what a day that will be. What's this song like? What's this song? There is a day that will be when my Savior I shall see. How's it going? We'll go with that, okay? Because he's coming back. What a day that is going to be. Wow. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So how long will we be with the Lord after the gathering together? Eternity. That's what eternity. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What a great comfort it is to know he's coming back. And if we should fall asleep before he comes back, we get to be first in line. Okay? First in line, and then if we're alive, we're going to. It's a great reality. Well, let's look at a little bit more in God's Word what this entails in light of the hope of Christ's return. And let's go to slide number 7, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. We're going to close in this section. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. You know, not everybody's going to die before Christ comes back. But we shall all be what? Changed. Changed. If you're dead in Christ, you're going to be changed. If you're alive in Christ when he comes back, you're going to be changed. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, you might like your physical body, how you are now. But how about having something much better? Yeah, much, much better. And if God's going to change it, do you think it's going to be worse? Oh, my goodness, no. It's going to be much, much better. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You'll have a new body. It's incorruptible. You have a corruptible body now, right? Yeah, it turns to dust. But we're going to have a new body that's incorruptible. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Woo! Swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But, verse 57, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Jesus Christ. Wow. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. I think you should have a great week this week. I mean, I'm going to have a great week because I've just been reminded of this great hope that I have. And I'm going to be changed. How exciting that is. How blessed. Well, what's the last verse say? This is a nice thing to do. In light of all the greatness of hope that we have in Christ's return, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Wow. We get to work. the work of the Lord. Hold forth the words of life. Help people get born again. Grow in the Word. Oh my goodness. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, any and everything you do for the Lord will have great results. Bringing donut holes. Daryl, the donut hole bringer, all right. You know, our AV guys setting all this stuff up. Everybody here that does so much to work within the family of God to bless the saints, that work's not in vain. Just to speak, to love on somebody with the love of Christ, that's not going to be in vain. Yeah, he's coming back. And there are rewards. We can get into that at another time, but let's just be grateful and thankful that he is coming back and we are going to be changed. Amen? Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and grace that you have so set life so wonderfully and so beautifully through your Son that we could have all that he is now. And then when he comes back, we have that incorruptible body, that new body like unto his. We're just so, so thankful, Father, that we can know this and then live it to the fullest. I pray for your people that they can continue to rise up and grow in their understanding and appreciation of all that you've done in Christ for us. I pray that we can just have an exciting time living it until Christ comes back at any moment. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right. That's it.